Last week I gave you five references concerning knowledge, things that must be known after one comes to receive Christ, forgiveness, grace. There's five places. I'll mention them once again very quickly. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, no. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing. Romans chapter 6, verse 9, knowing. Romans chapter 6, verse 16, know ye. And Romans chapter 7, verse 1, know. Five places in that short span of verses where either knowing or known or know is emphasized after being saved. As I've said in Romans chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8, is the doctrine of sanctification, where we are progressively being transformed into His image. That is a process that takes place from the day we're born again until the day that we go home to be with Him. And it is a process that most people struggle with because of one word, and that is yield. Yield. And so we're looking at chapter 6. This is the knowledge chapter. Chapter 7 is the frustration chapter. And chapter 8 is the victory chapter. It's a trinity of chapters, the three dealing with the doctrine of sanctification. Positionally, we were put in Christ, and positionally, according to Ephesians chapter 2, we are seated with Christ in heaven. Right now, the day you get saved, positionally, you are seated with Him. Our home is there. Our name is there. Our crowns and rewards are there. Our Savior is there. Our mansion is there. Citizenship is there. We're just waiting to go. But positionally, we're already there. Progressively, He's working on us to conform us each day into the image of Christ. Then someday, thank God, when we get there, we will be perfectly sanctified. When we see Him, we shall become like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. That's the perfected sanctification. I got news for you tonight. That's not going to happen during our lifetime. But there ought to be progress. There ought to be progress as we move along. Now, the key word that we were looking at last week is being buried. Buried. That is a part of the gospel. We don't have the time to take to look tonight, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the chapter on the resurrection. And if you were to look at Corinthians chapter 15, there is what the gospel is. The gospel, in a nutshell, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. So without the burial, you don't have a full gospel. You have to have all three. You have to have a death, and you have to have a resurrection. And you can't have a resurrection if you don't have a burial. Now, this is very serious, and I need the time tonight to explain, not only in here, but beyond the four walls, because there's a large movement. It's in the country of Romania, where I still have ministry, where they teach and say Christ only resurrected in spirit, not in body. That is absolute false doctrine. And people are grasping it. People are accepting it. Major theological schools are teaching it, promoting it. And it's a transformation of theology from a bodily resurrection to just a spirit resurrection. And it's doing great damage and great destruction to what we call fundamental Christianity, as an alarming amount of movement toward that position. So without the burial, you have no gospel. Without the resurrection, you have no gospel. You've got a man-made gospel, and that's the threat that's threatening us today. You think we've got a lot of problems in society with economics and diseases and stuff? We've got a far greater problem than that in the world, and that's truth. That's truth. Because truth is being destroyed. That's what happened in Israel before they fell and collapsed. Truth fell in the streets. People didn't look at truth as necessity and so forth. And so we've got to contend, and that's a fight. It's a fight for the faith. It's a fight for the truth. It's a fight for our very existence and our voice in this crazy mixed-up world in which we live tonight. So you have to have a burial, physical burial, and you have to have a bodily resurrection. And my answer and question, my question and answer, answering my own question, is to all those that promote this spirit, just the spirit resurrection, what do you do with the 500 that saw him in body? What do you do with those on the night of the resurrection that met with him and they ate with him? What do you do with the two returning back from the road back to Jerusalem and they walked with him, talked with him in bodily form? What do you do with that? Just throw it out the window. Ignore it as if it's not there. There's a real... I taught this down at the mission service we had Sunday morning in Belpre. There's a real problem today in suppressing truth. Not only in the biblical sense, but as well in society and in every phase of life. Suppressing the truth and changing the truth. And I dealt with that Sunday morning down at Marietta. So, or down at Belpre, I'm sorry. So we have this in the spiritual realm. And it's alarming. It's alarming of pastors, theological schools, and so forth. It's moving toward this direction because the bodily resurrection is a miracle. And these people are going to a point to denying the miracles of the Bible, explaining away rather than the believing it. So the burial is extremely important. Extremely important. And you can't get away from that. And we're going to look at that just a little bit tonight before we go to look at these five no's. We're looking at the first no in verse 3. And that's where we got to last Wednesday night. And I took you back to the first mention of the burial. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But if you look at the first no, that's what we were starting on last Wednesday night. We didn't get very far. But know ye not, don't you know this, so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. That's when we were put into the body of Christ. And that's a spiritual baptism. According to Ephesians chapter 2, there's only one baptism. I'll get it right here in a minute. Ephesians chapter 4. There's only one baptism. That's a spiritual baptism. And that happened in verse 3 when we were baptized into Jesus Christ. That's spiritual. Then the physical baptism is in verse 4. Wherefore we are buried. And that's where we got to last Wednesday night when I went back to the Old Testament. And chapter 6, verse 4 is the water baptism. It's the water baptism where we are physically standing and identifying as we stand in the pool of baptism. We identify with Him as we stand and confess Him as Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And we've accepted Him, we confess Him, and so forth, that we've received Him. Then we are buried, and we go under the water. We are buried with Him, just as He was buried. We are buried with Him. He didn't stay in the tomb, and we don't stay under the water. We come up out of the water, and that pictures the resurrection. So, and that's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, the death, the burial, and the resurrection is the gospel. That's it. And so we, when we are baptized by water, we are testifying just like we do at the communion table. When we do this, we are testifying that we have believed in Him. We have accepted Him. We have trusted Him. We witness for Him as we take the Lord's Supper. So those are the two ordinances given to the local church: baptism by water and the Lord's table, to testify that we have what the Scriptures have instructed. All right? So what we have today is the moving away from a literal burying, and just a spirit resurrecting. And it is absolutely, totally false. So we are buried with Him by baptism unto death. Now, baptism unto death. Buried. Now, as I said last Wednesday night, we went back to Abraham. The first place in the Bible where you find anything about burying is when you come to Abraham. I don't have the time tonight. We've got too much to cover. But I went back to the genealogy of Adam, also with Cain and his genealogy. We didn't look at it near as much. But it says Adam lived and begat sons and daughters and so forth, and he died. And then it goes on down. Enos had sons and daughters, and he died. No mention of burial. No mention of burial from Adam all the way to Abraham. No mention of burial until you come to Abraham. Now, there's an emphasis and reason for that. Hold your finger there in Romans chapter 6. Go back with me again, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter 23. And this is when Sarah, Abraham's wife, dies. She lived 127 years. That's how much life has been shortened from Noah, from the time of the flood until the time of Abraham. About 200-300 years, life has been shortened from 900 years to under 200 years. Because, boy, you talk about climate change. Wow. Was there a climate change after the flood? Wow. But anyway, she lived 127 years. And she died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah, to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger, a sojourner with you. Give me a possession for a burying place. Now, we would call that today a cemetery. This is not a single plot. This is not a grave. We know And I don't have time to point all this out. There were six people in this burying place. Abraham and Sarah. Isaac and Rebekah. And Jacob and Leah were buried in this place. Rachel, and I'm going to deal with this next Wednesday night. I don't have time tonight. Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. Oh, that's beautiful. She's not buried here. She's buried in Bethlehem. She's not buried here. But anyway, six people. So this is not talking about an individual plot to be buried in. This is a what we would call a small family cemetery. All right? And this is the first place where you find a place plurality for burial. But it's not the first time buried is mentioned. So turn back with me, if you will, now to Genesis chapter 15. This is when God came to Abraham. He's instructing him. He's teaching him. He is showing him his plan, his program for him and his descendants and those that will live after him and so forth. And he just told him in chapter 15, verse 13, that your descendants will be in a strange land for over 400 years. A strange land happened to be Egypt. And that happened when Joseph went down and eventually Jacob and all of them, and they were down there over 430 years to the very exact day when Moses took them out. That was all revealed to Abraham in chapter 15, verse 13. Now, here is what I want to show with you. Let me see. Also, that nation in verse 14, they shall serve what I judge, and afterward they shall come out with a great substance. Only God knows the future. He's telling Abraham what's going to happen. Corrupt what we read about in the book of Exodus. Now, and thou, in verse 15, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be, and there it is, the very first time in the Bible. Thou shalt be buried. You shall be buried in a good old age. Actually, he lived to be 175. Now, why no mention of burial from Adam to Abraham? Why? And as Bert asked last Wednesday night, my opinion, what did people do from Adam to Abraham when they died? Because it just says, and they died, and they died, and they died, and they died. No mention of burial, no mention of a burying place, all the way from Adam, all the way over to Abraham. You come all the way to Abraham before you ever hear a mention of anything about being buried. Well, we have to go. I don't like opinions and I don't like speculations. But I'll just go to two verses that we would assume would answer the question. And that's in Genesis chapter 3. Well, Genesis chapter 3, and we'll look at three verses. This is after the fall. There's consequences. Even though there's forgiveness, there's consequences. So in chapter 3, verse 17, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground. For thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return. There it is. So we assume, based upon God's instructions to Adam, that's what they did. But burial is not mentioned in each one of their names because it wasn't significant in the generation of 1600 years. It only became significant when you come to Abraham. So burial, I want to tell you, the Bible is the most amazing book in all the world, with all the millions of volumes of the wisdom of man, and all of the volumes written by philosophers, and all the books written on knowledge and everything. I want to tell you, this is the most amazing book ever written. It is the Word of God, and it is under attack tonight like we've never seen before. Our liberties are under attack tonight. We are under a serious demonic attack. These are the last days. And this, what's coming up in the next week, is not a decision between one party and another party. It is a decision between good and evil. There was no significance. And this is the argument that some of these liberal teachers want to use. Look back, Adam died. There wasn't no mention about a burial. There wasn't no mention about a burial. And they totally exempt the instructions that God gave when after Adam fell concerning him. Where are you going when you die? You're going back to the ground. I read this at every graveside when we have the committal. I always read that passage. God didn't choose this for man. Man chose this end for himself. So it doesn't need to be mentioned after they die because they've already been instructed. But when you come to Abraham, you've got a whole different ballgame now. You've got a whole different program going on. And that's why burying is extremely important. Everybody with me? Everybody clear? So it's very clear. That's what I've been telling people. You're nothing. I'd like to include myself. We're nothing but a piece of dirt. That's all we are. We're just dust and dirt. If you want to be clay, you can be clay. You can be yellow clay, red clay, whatever you want to be. You can be whatever you want to be. But we're just nothing but dirt. That's where we came from. And man was nothing but dirt until God breathed into him the breath of life. And without God, man is nothing but dirt. Boy, they love to hear that. But that's where man was supposed to go to when they died. And they had that instruction from God clearly right from the beginning. This is what's going to happen to you. You're going to die, and you're going to go back to the ground in the sweat of your face. That's how you're going to live, and this is how you're going to die. You're going back to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art. I didn't say man was dirt. God did. I'm just quoting God. It says, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So we assume man did that. We assume, and I'm not going to get over into another area. I'm tempted, but I'm just going to stay completely away from it. So that's God's instructions. And we assume that that's what man did for the first 1600 years. They died and they was buried. But burial wasn't something that was significant, and that's why it's not mentioned in Adam. Because the Bible says in the book of Romans, and we'll see, for in Adam we all die. And in 1 Corinthians, in Adam we all die. No mention of life. No mention of... Because burying in the program of God takes on a significant meaning. Burying doesn't mean the end. It means the beginning in the program of God. And you know Abraham understood that. Abraham understood that. And God made it very clear to Abraham, you're going to die in a good old age and be buried. So Abraham, when he buried Sarah, knew someday this is going to happen to me. And so he provided a place where they'd be large enough, and actually what we call the patriarchs, all three of them were buried in there, and three wives. And I don't have the time, but that's what Genesis tells us in the different sections as you follow the three different characters. All right? Now, Abraham believed in the resurrection. Let's go back. I shared this with Frosty here a few weeks ago, maybe months ago. It could have been a year ago. I'm telling you, time. We were talking before service. Boy, time's like a vapor. It's like God says. It's just like a vapor. Hebrews chapter 11 in dealing with the person of Abraham. And dealing specifically with the event when God told Abraham to take his son Isaac up on the mountain. That mountain was Mount Moriah. That's the very mount Jerusalem sat on, and that's the very mount where Christ died, Mount Moriah. Now, the verse we want to look at is in verse 17, Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Abraham there is a beautiful picture of God. Isaac said upon that mountain that day, we got the wood, we got the fire, we got the altar, where's the lamb? And Abraham said to his son, God will provide the lamb. God will provide the lamb. Abraham said that. Upon that mountain that day when he offered up, beautiful picture of the Father offering up his son. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, he waited 25 years to get that seed. He waited 25 years for that son. And now God says, I want him. Lay him up on the altar. Lay him up on. You see, God uses our lives as examples to teach. You may never be able to open your mouth to a lost loved one. We often pray for lost loved ones. I have them, you have them. And you may never have an opportunity, and they may never give you an opportunity to share the gospel and the truth with them. But God can use you as an example to speak very loudly to them. You don't even have to say a word. He waited 25 years for his son and was promised that in this son, you're going to have seed like the stars in heaven. Look up around the stars and see if you can count them, Abraham. If you count them stars, how many there are? Your seed is coming for now. In Isaac, now he says, go for an offering. Abraham said, okay. He said, it's done. So he's up there and he's going to do it. That's in Genesis chapter 22. Listen. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall our seed be called, verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up. Amen. Abraham believed in the resurrection. Amen. And then people say the Old Testament is not important. Counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in the future. So Abraham was first human on the earth to be told, you'll be buried. Now, God said in general to Adam, you'll return to the dust, you'll return to the ground from where you were taken. In general, but specifically to Abraham, you will be buried. Never said anything after that, what's going to happen after that. So we go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and we find Abraham, and we find that Abraham understood that if God took a life, God was able to give life back to him. I want to tell you something, folks.
That's faith. Mm-hmm. That's faith. That's faith. Now back to Romans. The burial, when you come to Abraham, takes on a significant meaning. That's why you have first mentioned with him. And the burying place also takes on, because that's Abraham's seed, a burying place. Even though there's only six corpses in there, it takes on a significant, a very significant meaning in connection to Abraham. Now, when you get over into the Kings and the Chronicles and so forth, they all have sepulchres, and the Kings' sepulchres and so forth. I'm not going to get into all that. There's no purpose in all of that. Those are all in the meaning of physical life. I'm speaking tonight of a spiritual application concerning the man Abraham, who was the first human in almost 1,700 years that has ever mentioned anything about burying. And you will be buried. So Abraham went on upon that statement, and when his wife died, he bought a burying place, or like a plot, where more than one could be buried. You see that? You see that in Abraham? And when you put those two together, Abraham knew one day, hey, I'm going to die. I'm going to die too. God told me I'm going to die, and God told me I'm going to be buried. So I need a burying place, which takes on in the Hebrew a meaning of a more than just a single one plot. That's faith. And why in Abraham? Because from Abraham would come the royal seed. Through Abraham would come the Messiah. Through the nation of Israel would come the Son of God. Through Israel, the seed of Abraham. All of the stars, you look up at that spiritual seed, you see all that? Your burial takes on a very important significance in the man Abraham. Abraham. Burial. And that's why burial is so important for you and I as born-again Christians to understand the purpose of God. When you are buried, that's not the end, that's the beginning. When I'm buried, that's when I begin to live. Amen. You say, show me that in the Bible. I'd love to. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. The second half. That clock back there has never been a friend of mine in 9 years. But, I'm going to start with the word, but you. But give yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Amen?
Amen?
We are to live like we have resurrected from the dead. That's what it says. I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says. Give yourselves as those that have rose from the dead. That's why the burial is important. If you don't have a burial, you can't live like you rose from the dead. And you find that in Abraham. Listen, all you in here and me, we'll take our loved ones and put them in a plot somewhere, either in this area or somewhere around. And if they die, I've often said, and I'll say it again tonight, it's not how we live, it's how we die. And we die in faith when that person leaves this body. I told the students yesterday down at the college, wow, what a great class we had in yesterday. I told buried. So barren takes on significant meaning when it comes to Abraham, because Abraham will be a father of a nation that will bring forth the kings, and which will bring forth eventually King Jesus, and he'll come, the Messiah, the Son of God, and he will die, he'll be buried, and he will resurrect to new life. That's the gospel. And those that come to the throne of grace for forgiveness and so forth, there they stand. And now I have been buried in him. I have been baptized into him spiritually, positioned in heaven. And I am to live like I am resurrected from the dead. That's the way I'm supposed to live. And you know, people don't know that. Many people think that salvation is just a fire escape from hell. They think it's just a pass from going to hell. You know, God left us down on this earth for a reason. After I got saved, then the name called, after they saw I was serious, he's a Jesus freak. Man, he didn't just go park. He lost his mind. My brother came to me in my garage and said, "You're out of your mind. You lost your mind." He said, "I'm serious." He said, "I'm going to take you over that and commit you." He wasn't talking about the university either. He said, You lost your mind. They get in the name of God and call you crazy. Why? Because something has changed.
Amen.
Something has changed. And I will often ask people that say, I'm a Christian. I often ask them, if that's true, where's the change? And you see, sanctification is a little more change every day. A little more change every day. A whole lot less like me, and a whole lot more like him. Every day. Every day. Every day. And that's progression. Sanctification. But it starts with understanding I'm buried with him. Now, back to that wonderful word we left off with last week. In verse 5. If we have been planted together, now we take bearing to a new level of understanding. Jesus said, except the grain of corn go into the ground and die, it cannot bring forth fruit. Now, if you take, we always put three kernels, put a little hole in a hole, and put three kernels down in it, put about a foot apart, measure it, and so forth. And you put those three little yellow kernels, or white kernels, whatever you do, down in the ground. Let me ask you, what comes up out of that ground, does it look like what went in the ground? Huh? And it takes on the form that produces what's in the ground. Isn't God wonderful?
Amen.
And when we raise from the dead to live, according to that verse, we will look like him. Not that body. See, when we give our life to Christ, this old body is enough. In this life, we're supposed to show what shoots up. And it's not to resemble the old. And that's the second knowledge. And we're out of time. I'll read it. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So, we're planted. This old body is planted. It can no longer portray what it used to portray before I came to the throne of grace. This old body. Amen? It's going to resemble, not me, it's going to resemble the one who died, was buried, and resurrected.
Amen.
Now here is the key. And I'll close with this. Verse 1, the word continued. The word continued, we'll pick up on those notes. I have no plans of spending several Wednesday nights on these five buildings. But it feels important that we understand and we get it down. The word continuing signifies a lifestyle. Because if we get over into chapter 6 into some of these passages, we know and you know and we all acknowledge we're not perfect. That's the final sanctification. Right now, we're just progressing along. A little more each day. A little more each day. And we all know we fail. We all know. But you see, the word continuing doesn't imply a failure. The word continuing implies a lifestyle. A lifestyle. What are we going to say? Are we going to continue in sin? That's a lifestyle. No. But do Christians sin?
Yes.
Well, we have an immediate outlet if we confess. He's faithful and just to forgive. That's a Christian. If we say we don't have any sin, we call him a liar. And the truth is not in us. And we deceive ourselves. So, yes, we're going to deal with that next week. The sin, after we're resurrected, the new life, and that verse. Oh, what a tremendous verse that was. I have studied through the book of Romans. I don't know how many times I've commented on it, how many times I've read a commentary on it. Today's the first time I saw it. That's the first time I saw it. There's often today. So, this continuing is a lifestyle that we have before we come to salvation. That can't continue. And I'll show you some other verses over in 1 John. But what about the failures? The failures. That's where you get over into chapter 7. And that's called the chapter of frustration. And that's where a lot of God's people live. In frustration. God has the answer if we'll just follow the instructions. Facebook friends, thank you for connecting with us tonight. We trust the Bible study tonight was a blessing to your heart. There is victory in Jesus. We sing about it. I trust that you enjoy it day after day after day. Someday we'll be with you. My friend, when loved ones die and when we die, that's just the beginning of life. That's not the end. And we thank God for that wonderful truth. And we're to live after we're saved, but we're in that new life right now. That's what God wants. So we have quite an achievement, quite a task to fulfill. But God does it as we yield to Him daily. Thank you for being with us tonight. Stay safe. Stay blessed. We'll be back streaming live 9:30 Sunday morning from Frosty Sunday School lesson and our morning service at approximately 11. Thank you for connecting with us tonight. All right, shall we stand? Thank you for coming out this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you that it is nourishment for our soul. Thank you that it feeds us, encourages us, strengthens us. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that teaches it to us and helps us to understand it in the applications of our individual lives. Take the Word of God that's come forth tonight. Help us with it each and every day. Thank you for our prayer time. And again, collectively, we say tonight, amen. Have your will and your perfect work in every prayer, every answer to every prayer. May you meet that need. Dismiss us now by blessing upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.